Folks, welcome back to Schaefer's Market Mashup. Shout out Stain, because it's been a while. It is Wednesday, June 28th. It's great to be back. Thank you for allowing me to have some time away to take a little vacation and PTO, but I'm back on the grind now. Don't you worry, we're going to have our regularly scheduled programming coming up for the rest of the summer and into the fall. And today, I have a very exciting guest who you might remember from last year, Mark Benziquin, the OCC principal and OIC instructor. Mark, it's great to have you back in the booth. I'm excited to jam today. What is happening?
Patrick, thanks so much. Great to be here. Everything's wonderful. Like you, I took some time off recently, did some traveling, and now it's back into work and full steam ahead.
How long did it take you to get really back into work? Like truly where you can kind of look at yourself and say, all right, I'm really in my workflow again. Because I'm embarrassed to say that it took me 2 days to really get my gears turning again.
Yeah, luckily it doesn't take me very long. You know, my wife jokes that I'm one of the only guys probably in the world that when his alarm goes off, he actually gets out of bed and jumps in the shower rather than hitting the snooze button a handful of times. So I don't really have a lot of trouble getting back into picking up my momentum again. And one of the reasons is because I enjoy what I do so much. There's so much on my plate at OCC and creating content for OIC, the Options Industry Council, that, when you enjoy something that you do as much as I do, it's always nice to get back to it. But that being said, you know, we were in Cabo for a while. We were out camping in Moab for a while. So it's those, getaways that, really, really make you happy to be alive. That's for sure. Mm-hmm.
Definitely reinvigorating. And in the words of Ted Lasso, there's two buttons you should never hit, and that's the panic button and the snooze button. So,
all right. Barbecue sauce.
You're on point with Mr. Lasso there. Last episode, fitting, it was roughly a year ago, June 2022. To quote Basil Exposition in Austin Powers, a lot has changed. And a year ago, we talked verticals, risk mitigation. So in the last 12 months, is there anything that you were caught off guard by or any particular lessons you learned within the stock market?
Yes and no. One of the biggest things that surprised me wasn't necessarily what happened with the market itself, but with the knowledge that people that are trading options, or the lack of knowledge, I should say, that I found them to have. You know, at OCC, we've got an investor education team where we answer questions via email and chat. And a lot of the questions that we get come from retail investors. And if there's some wrinkle in the market, whether it's a trading halt or volatility spikes or, just a Fed announcement, whatever it may be, it was interesting to me to see how many people are really, waging their real world dollars in the market that they just don't understand how things work. So to me, that was really the biggest surprise, that people are, putting their money where their mouth is and they have no idea what it is that they're talking about.
Do you sense a little bit of fatigue coming out of the pandemic and we're fully out now? Is there a little bit of wariness? I mean, what's the temperature of these retail investors?
Oh, I think it's completely the opposite. I think that now that we're out of that pandemic and people are, ready to get back into the world, get back on with their lives, and they're investing like never before. I've got some numbers here. 2022, about 10.3 billion option contracts exchanged hands, a record, the most options transactions ever. Averaging about 41 million contracts a day. And in 2023, we're about 10% above that. We're averaging about 45 million contracts a day, with the busiest day ever, about 70 million option contracts exchange hands. So what that tells me is that for the last couple of years, you know, post-pandemic, more people are investing, more people are taking an active interest in their portfolios rather than passively investing. They are now being active participants. And it just shows me that now more than ever, people need to know what it is that they're doing. There's a lot of hiccups that we experienced over the last 12 months with, you know, for example, some of these Russian stocks that were halted and now can't be traded. People that have options investments in there, they don't know what to do. They don't know what's happening. And then with the, you know, the recent bank collapse that we had with Silicon Valley and Republic Bank, that, you know, people are investing and in some cases gambling on what they think is going to happen. And but by not fully understanding the markets and fully understanding the aspects and the nuances that go hand in hand with trading options, they, even though they may have been right on the direction, for example, thinking the stock's going to go down, they ended up losing their bet because they just don't understand how options really work.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a great segue to what I, you know, we've caught up, and now let's look forward and let's talk about some of these option strategies that could be prudent in this market climate. And I sat here researching for this episode, trying to think of an analogy or a symbol for what this market climate is. And, you know, feel free to rip me apart here if this is way off base. I can take it. I've got thick skin.
I love it.
But I look at this market climate as like a rescue dog. It's happy, it's enjoying life, but you never know like what's gonna trigger it or scare it. One of my first rescue dogs was terrified of brooms because it, you know, lived right by an old, you know, restaurant, and the cooks would come out and chase the dog away with the broom. That's what I see this current market climate as, where, you know, things are looking good, looking solid, looking steady, but there's still chop that could come in different spots.
Well, certainly. And look at the, you know, not to get on a tangent here, but look at the current, you know, political environment of our country. And that obviously is going to have a tremendous impact on the market and the economy overall. You know, the thing about options is that they're incredibly versatile. What I mean by that is there's so many different uses that we can use options for. And one of the presentations that I've been doing recently is the top five misconceptions about options. When we talk to financial advisors, when we talk to individual investors, and we go to conferences and conventions and expos all around the country, and when we talk to all of these people and ask them, do you use options? And if not, why not? One of the two major reasons we get is number one, options are too complicated and they just don't understand how they work. And that makes sense. You know, I get it. Options aren't, you know, necessarily for everybody. But the second reason is that they're too risky. And that's where I like to come in, that, you know, options necessarily aren't any more or less risky than any other investment. You know, you buy stock, you could lose 100% of your investment. You know, same with options. You know, if you buy a call, you can lose the premium that you paid for the call. But what they don't understand, what investors and advisors typically don't understand, and again, I'm referring to these ones that don't use options or that aren't very familiar with options, what they don't understand is there are specific strategies designed to mitigate risk. You know, looking back at our stock example, if you buy stock for $100 a share, and you buy 100 shares, you've got $10,000 invested. Now, theoretically, you could lose every penny of that $10,000. That stock could go to zero. The likelihood of that happening is probably pretty small, or the likelihood of that happening overnight is probably even smaller. But the point is, you can lose everything. Now, with options, you can reduce that risk. Let's say I've got that stock $100 a share. If I want to protect that stock, I can buy an option. I can buy a put option that will allow me to select an exit price at which I'm looking to get rid of those shares. So let's say here's a hypothetical example. Let's say I bought stocks $90 a share. It's now trading $100. I've got a $10 profit. If I wanted to protect some of those profits, I can buy a 95 strike put, and maybe it costs me $1. So by doing so, if stock went back down to 90 or if it went down to 80 or what have you, I've got the right now to sell those shares at $95. Granted, I have to pay $1 for that right. So theoretically, I'm selling it at 94, but I've locked in $4 of profit on my stock, regardless of where stock goes. Stock goes to 80, I'm still theoretically selling at 94. If stock goes to 120, I don't need that protection and I simply let that put expire worthless. But the idea that options are too risky, I think, comes from a place of just unfamiliarity. I don't want to say ignorance, but it comes from a place where people that are unfamiliar with options don't really know how versatile they can be. So getting back to your original question with the market as it is, what's something that people might want to look at? Depending on their opinion, depending on what they think is going to happen over the next 6 months or up to a couple of years, what have you. And again, with this political climate, everything going on overseas, it may not be a bad idea for people to look for protection. And if they are looking for protection for their portfolio, options might be a good vehicle for them to pursue.
Always use protection.
I love it. Yes.
I might have to absolutely edit that in post-production. I couldn't resist. Circling back to what you were saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the big key there when you are purchasing this protection is finding something that is cheap. In your example, you found the put for $1. And I think that is what could be the key that unlocks the door for everybody that do think it's risky by saying, hey, look, there are cheap ways to protect yourself, not pricey ways.
Right. Absolutely. It's, obviously the closer you get to the at the money strike, if stock's trading 100, a $100 put is going to be more expensive than a $95 put. But it's, it's a balance of what you're willing to pay versus how much protection you're looking for and how long you're looking to hold on to that protection. So, I kind of liken it or compare it to car insurance, for example, which obviously they're two very different products, but they have similarities in the sense that, with a car, you're not wanting to get into the accident, but if you do get into the accident, you're going to be covered. And it's kind of the same thing with a protected put. You really don't want that protection. You don't want the stock to drop from 100 down to 90 and even lower. But if it does, then you want to have the ability to exit at a more favorable price. So that ability to exit, obviously, that's going to cost money. So, you're going to, do your due diligence. How much am I willing to spend for? How much protection am I looking for?
And to piggyback off of the car insurance analogy, you don't necessarily want the premium because I just bought a car in January and I had to talk down the agent trying to say, oh, well, you need this, this, and this. You need windshield insurance and you need this, this, and this. And it's like, slow down. I want insurance,
right,
but I don't need the blue chip premium type of thing. And that sounds like it can still be a thing when you're purchasing a protective put.
Yeah. So the price is going to be determined on a couple things. First and foremost, how long are you looking for that protection? If you're, looking for the next 6 weeks, it's going to be a lot cheaper than the next 6 months. If you're looking for the next 2 months, it's going to be a lot cheaper than the next 2 years. So as with, any buying strategy when you're looking to buy protection or you're looking to buy calls to speculate, what have you. The further you go out in time, the more it's going to cost. But it also depends on things like implied volatility. If you're looking, you know, people say that it's better to buy the protection before you need it than after you need it. You know, remember, there's a joke about something about somebody's house catching on fire, and they're calling the insurance agent as the house is burning down. And obviously, that insurance is going to cost more than had they purchased it 6 weeks prior to the house, you know, burning. But the idea is in turbulent markets, when people are looking for protection, that's when volatility is going to be jacked up. That's when increases in volatility is going to cause option prices to be more expensive. So if you're looking to buy that protection in already turbulent times, it's going to be more expensive than if you had bought that protection when things are a little bit more moderated. So it's kind of like, you know, do you want the windshield protection? Do you want the tires? Do you want, you know, bumper to bumper, you know, or do you just want the basics? You know, with options, you can just do the basics, certainly.
Mm-hmm. And sorry, this is the last time I'll piggyback off of that, in the car insurance thing. But when I was thinking about my own car insurance, I was saying, okay, knock on wood, but I'm a very safe driver. And I bought a very safe car. And I viewed those as, okay, well, I'm not going to do anything stupid. If you are purchasing a Corvette or some kind of speedster and you want to show this car off on, you know, in South Beach, Miami, hopefully you have the wherewithal to maybe pony up for something that's a little more expensive. And so to translate that back to the stock thing, you need to know that stock. Are you dealing with a stock that does tend to make volatile moves? Or are you dealing with a stock that has an earnings report coming up? That would be, to tie it all together, that would be a Corvette in a sense, like right before an earnings report.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, with earnings, you know, earnings are an unknown event, right? We don't know what's going to happen to the stock afterwards, after the earnings are released. So that uncertainty does two things. Number one, as an option seller, that uncertainty creates more risk for the seller. And as that seller accepts more risk, they're going to want more option premium. They're going to want to be paid for that risk that they're accepting. Now, as the option prices increase, because the seller wants to protect themselves, that's going to push up implied volatility as well. And by doing so, if you're looking to purchase that protection maybe just before that earnings announcement, it's typically going to cost you a lot. The implied volatility is going to be at a significantly higher level than it may have been historically prior to that earnings event. So it's, you know, it gets back to the idea that options pricing is made up of all of these different components, and each of those components has, you know, the different nuances to them. So once you have a better understanding about that, once you have a better grasp on what those aspects and what those nuances are and how they relate to each other, especially depending on what's happening with the market, you've got a better idea of whether or not that insurance, and again, insurance is kind of a misnomer, but that protection that you're purchasing, whether it's relatively expensive or whether it's relatively inexpensive for the protection that it affords.
Right. And I think that is the big hurdle for a lot of retail traders to understand, is all of the nuances and the components of the pricing. And it does remind me of that tweet. It's a famous tweet from 8 years ago. It was, "I never thought leopards would eat my face," sobs woman who voted for the Leopards Eating People's Faces party. And that's the same ethos and idea of purchasing this protection of like, oh, I never thought this stock would go down, as you right. purchase a stock with a propensity to possibly go down. And I don't know, sometimes there's a tweet that just resonates with all of life.
I like that. I you know, I don't remember that one, but I like it. I'll have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, definitely keep that in mind for certain political components as well.
Absolutely.
Anywho, I mean, that was a great little education primer that you threw out there. I mean, as we kind of wrap it up here, just wanted to broaden it out. You talked about vacation. What have you been listening to, reading, watching? I mean, what's your boy Brad up to? What's going on at the OIC? Give me a breakdown of it all.
My boy Brad, would that be Brad Wilk?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they are getting inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So very happy for him. As far as what's going on with me, like I said, we have been traveling a lot. I went to my very first Dead show, my very first Grateful Dead show a couple of weeks ago. I've always been very anti Grateful Dead for the last, 40 some odd years that I've been an active music listener. Mm-hmm. And decided to take the plunge. And my wife and I went with some friends from work. Anyways, long story short, we had such an amazing time that the next morning I woke up and bought tickets for that night show as well. So I am now a convert. I am now I fully appreciate the experience of Grateful Dead shows. Loved the music. John Mayer is a monster on that guitar. So yeah, that was something interesting that happened to us recently. I am now a convert into the world of Grateful Dead. Been rewatching Game of Thrones, Ted Lasso, as you had mentioned, one of our favorites, Shrinking, another show on Apple TV that we absolutely love. What else? Books. My wife reads a new book every 3 days, so it's hard for me to kind of keep up with her. I just read a Stephen King book called Revival. That was all right. One of my favorite books I've just read called River God by novelist Wilbur Smith. It's a fictional tale of ancient Egypt. In a time between two pharaohs, and it's full of, blood and sex and violence and inventions. And it's really a great, great read. All of my friends that aren't readers, that's the number one book that I recommend to them to give a try, to start reading. So again, that's River God by Wilbur Smith. Wonderful read. A lot of fun.
Yeah. I'll have to mark that one. I don't know why I've never done this. I've loved everything he does, but I finally started reading Kitchen Confidential by Anthony Bourdain.
His
official book that was like the original New Yorker piece. I have no idea why it took me this long. I loved his shows. Hmm. I loved his other writing. But I mean, he is an incredible writer. So that was what I would crack open on the beaches.
Interesting.
In the last 2 weeks. It's funny you mentioned John Mayer. My sister went to high school with him. Fairfield High in Connecticut. So it's funny because that song that he talks about is high school. My sister always chuckles and said, "Yeah, that checks out. He really did."
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's funny.
And yeah, no, I mean, he can absolutely shred. And what else did you say? Oh, yeah, no, I was going to ask you because you're in Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So have you watched The Bear?
I have. Season 2 just came out. We haven't started that yet, but we watched season 2 last year. Again, my wife loved it. I didn't really fall in love with it until maybe episode 7 or 8, something like that. But, very good show and very much looking forward to checking out season 2, which we probably will do shortly.
Yes, having fired up the first 3 episodes, it's as good or better.
Good.
Excellent. I would almost say like less, not that this is a TV show review podcast, but almost less stressful, but while still kind of capturing the feel of everything of season 1. So yeah, I recommend that enough.
I'm looking forward to it. I really like the actor. I certainly was a fan of Shameless, another Chicago-centric show. So yeah, it's nice to see him you know, continuing on with his career. And I think he's terrific. Jeremy, somebody there, I can't remember his last name, but I think he's terrific.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. They stuck the landing from what I've heard. So I can't wait to see that unfold.
Excellent. Excellent.
But then I guess to wrap up there, you know, I noticed on the OIC site, did you guys get a revamp here? This is a snazzy looking site.
We a while ago, I think this was last year or so, we kind of gave it a facelift and made it a little bit more intuitive to use and a little bit more graphically appealing. So yeah, excellent. I'm glad that you like it.
Yeah, it's very cool. I mean, anything else you guys got going on? I see you had your protective put seminar here. What else would you like to plug here as we're wrapping up?
Well, we're continuing to roll out new online courses. We just rolled out a course recently about different strategies pairing stock with options. So the protective put that I just mentioned, covered calls, stock repair strategy, et cetera. We released that a little over a month ago. A few weeks ago, we released a course on buying strategies, so long calls, long call spreads, long straddles, strangles, et cetera. And now I'm working on a course about selling strategies, so it's going to be the opposite of all that. But we also put out an article recently on this recent mania of zero DTE options, which I think is, you know, kind of interesting. You know, zero DTE, it's the buzzword that everybody loves talking about, and yet they don't realize that it's not a new product. They've existed for the last 50 years that people have been trading options. And, you know, really all it is if you got an option expiring on Friday, that Friday, if you were to get into that contract, that's a zero DTE contract. So we've got an article that we just published on our website about zero DTE. So for your listeners, if you're interested, definitely take a look at that. Our website is optionseducation.org. So we've got those courses. We've got that zero DTE article, and then we've got our webinar series. So yeah, we're very active, very busy. And always creating new content that we hope people will, you know, benefit from and find interesting and enjoyable.
That's great. Mark, you're the man. I mean, I learned something today. So, and I have a tenuous grasp on the English language at best. So, you know, hopefully people a lot smarter than me pick up something as well. And we can't go a year next time. Let's try to shorten that time frame up. And
I'd love it.
Check in with you in the fall.
Yeah, I'd love it. You know, we're always happy to talk, and you know, myself especially. So, yeah, anytime you've got an opening for me, Patrick, I'm happy to help. Thank you.
Outstanding. Thanks again, Mark. Take care.
Yeah, you're welcome. Have a great day. Take care.